We're here in the Congressional Corner with Congressman John Faso. John, first of all, thanks for coming on. Very much appreciated.
Great to be with you again, Alan.
Okay. Now, your relationship with the NRA, which we talked about the last time, this now brings up the question of the Mercer family and the amount of money that they give you. They're considerably to the right on our politics and certainly have been backers of the NRA. Do you feel badly about taking it?
I don't think there's any. I've never heard of any connection between Bob Mercer and the NRA. So I think you're wrong in that regard. And in fact, Bob Mercer has donated to me, but he donates what the legal maximum is, which is $2,700 per election. And so what people are talking about is donations that may be made to outside independent expenditure groups that I have no control or influence over. And this has been the case for many years, Alan. When George Soros donated $75 million in 2004 to defeat George W. Bush for the presidency, none of our friends on the left were objecting to that. So there's rank hypocrisy on this topic. Tom Steyer is a billionaire, California billionaire, who's spending multi-millions of dollars to influence elections. And this has always been the case. And it just so happens that the amount of hypocrisy that comes from the left on this is really stunning. You don't find most people on the right lamenting or criticizing people on the left who exercise their First Amendment right to free speech. But you find this amazing hypocrisy from the left on when conservatives or libertarians, frankly, like the Koch brothers are or like a Bob Mercer is, they're more libertarian in their outlook than they are traditionally conservative.
John Faso, I guess you and the governor have not always seen eye to eye on things. You know, he's not happy with the new tax law in that he joins an awful lot of people. You and he got into it.
Well, I voted against the tax bill, but the governor took umbrage at my making an inquiry, a very neutrally worded inquiry, by the way, to the Treasury Department of Policy Analysis, just simply asking whether the initiatives of some states, including New York, to try to set up nonprofit entities that people would make, quote unquote, donations to in order to substitute for the taxes they would otherwise pay. Would those donations be viewed as tax deductible by the IRS? This is an open question, and it's one that I made an inquiry of the IRS of and or the Treasury Department of, and Governor Cuomo didn't like that. Well, frankly, that's too bad. Governor Cuomo should have been making the inquiry to the Treasury as to whether the approach that he's proposing for the state would pass muster and whether if New Yorkers are induced to make such quote-unquote donations that they will be viewed as a quote-unquote donation by the IRS.
While we're on the subject, recently Joe Prococo, who's one of the top aides to Governor Cuomo, was convicted on three felony counts. One of his other friends, Todd Howe, has pleaded guilty to a number of offenses. What do you make of that?
The jury spoke. The prosecution made the evidence, the defense made their case, and the jury found them guilty.
Was there a way to tie that to the governor, do you think?
Well, it is common knowledge that nothing much happens in state government unless Andrew Cuomo agrees to it and acts upon it. And so I think that there's a very clear connection to the governor. No one has alleged a actual connection in terms of the bribery scheme that Prococo was convicted upon. But it does make you wonder. And again, Alan, it again reinforces in my mind why we should have term limits for statewide elected officials in New York State.
But not for congressmen.
We could have term limits for congressmen, but in New York State, where there's, you know, you have 435 members of the House, but you only have one governor and one comptroller and one attorney general in New York State. And I think 8 years, two terms is enough for any of those positions.
Okay. I want to go back to something we talked about in the very beginning when we talked to you a couple of days ago, and that has to do with the Budget Committee. As a freshman, your pals put you on the Republican Party put you on the Budget Committee. That's quite an honor. And but on the other hand, it was a pretty secretive process. And there was a midnight vote on the spending bill, and not everybody had read it. So what do you make of all of that?
Well, the Budget Committee, not to get into the weeds here, doesn't deal with the actual appropriations bills. And so the appropriations are what we were voting on. And people objected to the rushed nature of it. Yes, I had concerns about that, too. But I would point out that the House, the Republican-led House, had passed all of these appropriation bills in much of the same form as what we wound up passing now. We passed them 6 months ago. So these bills were largely reviewed and scored and polished 6 months ago. And we had a robust debate in the House over these bills. And for folks to say, oh, they never saw this before, is just simply not true, because most of what we voted on last week had been seen in this form previously.
Robert Mueller is coming closer, we are told, to doing his investigation, finishing it. The question I have for you, John, is it your impression that if Mueller were fired by the president, something should happen?
That would be a big mistake to fire Mr. Mueller before his investigation is concluded, and I would not support it.
But if he did?
Alan, I'm not going to speculate on things that I don't think are going to happen.
Yeah, see, we disagree on that. I think it's going to happen.
Well, then I can come back on this congressional corner with you, and I will say you told me so.
Two guys want to run for governor of New York. One is Mark Molinaro. The other is John DeFrancisco. You got a favorite?
They're both friends of mine, both terrific public officials. And either would make a fine governor.
Is it possible that Governor Cuomo could be beaten in this election?
You know, anything is possible. If you follow the Sweet 16 in the NCAAs this year, you will know that sometimes the favorites get upended by unexpected candidates.
What's the 21st Century Cures Act?
21st Century was a major initiative, bipartisan, done at the end of the Obama administration, passed by a Republican House and Senate, but done in a bipartisan fashion, which was focused on trying to direct the efforts and research efforts of the federal government and the entities like the NIH on finding cures to diseases that are going to cause us to have to spend enormous amounts of money in the future, like Alzheimer's, but also to try to deal with the using advanced scientific research techniques to deal with the heartbreak that people feel when their loved one is affected by Alzheimer's or diabetes or other chronic conditions that science can help us find these cures for. And so the 21st Century Cures Act was intended to harness that research initiative of not just the private sector, but the public sector, and to facilitate these efforts and to promote scientific research. And again, this is the kind of thing that, despite all the shouting that you hear in the media on both sides, left and right, there's a bipartisan consensus in Congress that we need to promote these kind of research activities.
It's great to talk to John Faso. John, thanks for coming in. It's always wonderful to see you, and we appreciate it very much.
Thank you.